The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Greetings and welcome to a very special episode of Canadian History X, one that I don't do too often, but I last did it with the House Hippo, and we're going to do it with another thing from Canadian history. But first, if you want to support the podcast, you can for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking donate. Don't forget, I have several other podcasts out there. I have From John to Justin, Pucks and Cups, Canada's Great War, and Coast to Coast, which are available on all podcast platforms. I do all these podcasts full-time, the writing, the research, everything. It's a lot of work, but I love it, and every dollar you give, I'll keep it all going. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram and TikTok, where I put up daily history videos, and my username is Bairdo37. You can also find weekly videos about Canada's history on my YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/c/CanadianHistoryX. And if you want transcripts of every single episode I've ever done, then just go to CanadaEHX.com. If you grew up in the 1980s and the 1990s in Canada, chances are that at least some point in your life you heard this very familiar Canadian tune.
If you ask any girl from the parish around what pleases her most from her head to her toes, she'll say, I'm not sure that it's business of yours, but I do like to waltz with a log driver.
Today, we have a special episode of Canadian History X since I have a break between seasons of Pucks and Cups and Canada's Great War. Last time, I looked at the House Hippo. Today, I'm looking at the log driver's waltz. The reason this song has become part of Canadian culture is thanks to the video produced by the National Film Board in 1979 as part of its Canadian vignette series. The song itself, though, dates back a bit earlier than that. The song celebrates log driving, which was the act of putting felled timber down rivers to be transported to sawmills. This was very common in the 1800s and into the 1900s. The lumberjacks would cut down the trees and they would be transported down to the river and then put into the water. The river would then take the logs quickly and for no cost to the sawmill. To ensure that the logs made the journey, workers would walk and run on the logs as they floated down the river. Log drivers, sometimes called bubble walkers or bubble treaders, played an integral role in the lumber industry for decades. It was also a dangerous job to be on the river with these logs. And while the log driver's waltz romanticizes working as a logger, the truth is that they worked from sunrise to sunset, and when the workday was done, they returned to dirty, overcrowded bunk houses. On top of that, they often spent 5 to 9 months in the camps away from their families. There were also the dangers of injuries, especially as mechanized equipment became more common, including chainsaws and trucks. Before that, logs were harvested using axes and bucksaws and hauled out on horse-drawn sleds and taken down to the river. On the river, crews were divided into two groups typically. The experienced and more nimble of the log drivers were part of the jam crew, and they watched spots where logs were likely to jam. They would then get in and dislodge the logs so they did not stack up. Failure to do so would create a partial dam, and that would raise the water level. If enough logs became backed up, it would take weeks to break up. The less experienced crew would be in the rear, pushing along the straggler logs that were stuck on the banks. They would often spend more time in the water than on the moving logs, and some men would just stay on the banks of the river and push the logs along with pike poles. Each crew also had an experienced boss who would be selected for his ability to fight, in order to control the reckless men on his crew. The ideal river was one that was straight and uniform with sharp banks. Wild rivers were not great, and loggers would often alter the river by blowing up rocks and building up the banks to make the river easier to navigate. To ensure that other timber firms didn't steal logs, each log was marked with an end mark, and altering the mark was a crime. In the 1950s, a man named Wade Hemsworth began working as a surveyor in northern Ontario and Quebec, and he would often live in logging camps where he saw the skills of the loggers. Hemsworth was impressed by the strength and agility of the men who worked on those logs and how their movements of the logs resembled dancing. His great-nephew, also named Wade Hemsworth, would say, quote, "The Log Driver's Waltz is a song about a time in Canadian history when logging and moving logs to the pulp and paper mill was done in a more traditional fashion. The action of burling on logs or standing on them as they turned over and staying upright was a unique skill." End quote. This would inspire him to write The Log Driver's Waltz. In 1956, Hemsworth released his first album, Folk Songs of the Canadian North Woods. As for the Log Driver's Waltz, the chorus of the song equates the work of the log drivers with dancing by stating, quote, "For he goes burling down, down the white water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly. It's burling down and down the white water. A log driver's waltz pleases girls completely."
For he goes burling down and down the white water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly. It's burling down and down the white water. A log driver's waltz pleases girls completely.
The word burling, often heard as whirling or twirling, comes from the Scottish word burl, which means to revolve or cause to revolve. Despite the name, the song isn't actually about log driving, but about how lumberjacks are the center of attention at dances because of their skills on the dance floor. Hemsworth wrote only 16 songs in his entire career, most of which became classics of the Canadian folk scene. None, though, reached the level of the Log Driver's Waltz. In the early 1960s, he met the Mountain City Four, and they would start to release his covers of songs he had written. One of the songs they covered was the Log Driver's Waltz. After the Mountain City Four broke up in 1967, two sisters in the band, Kate and Anna McGargle, would go off on their own and release 10 studio albums between 1975 and 2008. In 1979, they cemented themselves with Hemsworth as part of Canadiana through the rendition of the Log Driver's Waltz that appeared on the National Film Board vignette. 2 years previous, CBC's children's programming had contacted the National Film Board and requested they produce several short films that could be used between programming on the CBC. The federal government was also in favor of this, wanting to promote national unity. For the next 3 years, 80 filmmakers from across the country began to make films, but without a doubt the most famous is The Log Driver's Waltz. The National Film Board vignette was directed by John Weldon, and to this day, the film is one of the most requested in the entire collection of the National Film Board. It's also been adapted into a children's book. Hemsworth's great-nephew would say, quote, "To think that he wrote these songs half a century ago and that they still are in people's minds, it is something that I know would have pleased him completely." End quote. Hemsworth would die in 2002. Upon his death, Governor General Adrian Clarkson would state his songs were, quote, "so much a part of our folklore and so familiar to us that we didn't realize anyone had written them." End quote. Anna McGargle would state, quote, "He only wrote about 15 or 16 songs, but those that he did write have a lot of value." End quote. One of his songs, the Black Fly song, was made into a National Film Board cartoon as well, and it was nominated for an Oscar in 1992. In 2017, when the Montreal Gazette ranked its 150 greatest musical moments in Canadian history, The Log Driver's Waltz was number 62. I hope you enjoyed that quick little look at The Log Driver's Waltz, and I'll get it to play us out.
Now I've had my chances with all sorts of men, but none is so fine as my lad on the river. So when the drive's over, if he asks me again, I think I will marry my log driver. For he goes burling down and down white water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly. It's burling down and down white water. A log driver's waltz pleases girls completely.
If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram at Bairdo37. As well, again, if you want to support the podcast, you can for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. And you can donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. I'd also like to thank all of my wonderful patrons, and I apologize if I get any names incorrect. Michael Matthews, Joanna Parker, Jeff Dahl, Vobs, Robert Page, Richard D., Colin Johnson, Katie Caldwell, Jeff Hershey, Kyle Murray, Steve Paikin, Matthew Gartho, Lionel Romaine, Dr. Bob Turner, an anonymous patron that I truly do appreciate, Randy Hayden, Doug Campbell, Reg W., Deborah Carlson, Francis Helbling, Nick Zinri, Shannon Marshall, Clinton Martinez, Dimitri Chauve, Aaron O'Hara Myers, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Roy, Luke S., J.P. Baer, Jason Hall, Phil Maynard, and Iris Gray. Information from the National Film Board, Toronto Guardian, CBC, Wikipedia, On the A-Side, The Independent, Maclean's, Montreal Gazette, and The Ottawa Citizen. Thanks. See you again next time.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.